Item number 17.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding the relocation of residents in the Center for Independence and Development, formerly Hilltop. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
So this does not get confused with other issues. This is a report on the budget initiative that was approved last year to downsize by 24 clients in Hilltop. And just wanted to give you an update on that. This is this for these 24 patients. We have submitted the letter to the state asking for, saying that we were going to downsize by these 24. The state relocation committee is in place and, in fact, is meeting today. And just to give you the results, when this was written, we'd had six discharges. At this point in time, we've had seven discharges, and we are very comfortable that we will be downsized by 12 beds before April 1st. And we have a number of things in the hopper, if you will, plans that are in process, looking like they're going to be set and be approved, so that we're feeling at this point comfortable that we'll make our goal of 24 by July 1st.
Okay. Supervisor Bond?
So that's 12 by April 1st, 12 by July.
Right.
Okay, okay. Because you said 24.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Supervisor Stamper?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And this is with our own personal center team, right? It's the state, they're not coming in with their team. We develop our own team and our own relocation placement team.
No, Supervisor. We declared a downsizing with the state, so then the state did create a relocation
team
for these 24, not to get confused with anything
later.
But for these 24, which was approved in the budget, we have a relocation team that's put together by the state to relocate these 24.
Okay. So the procedure is always inform the state, and then they come in and help us with the relocation placement.
Right.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Okay. So that's procedure.
Yep. The difference being that in this particular case, we made the decision that as a budget decision that we were going to close this unit, and then we went ahead and notified the state. So now we're kind of doing it a little bit backwards. Yeah. So we made the announcement that we're doing it, and then we're.
Well, it's still consistent with the goal of putting people into the community.
Right.
Supervisor, this goes back to the 2010 budget.
Right, it does.
Where
it goes back, yes.
On a quarterly basis, evaluate downsizing.
Right.
We've came to quarterly reports telling you where we were.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, and since you brought that up, and just for the record, I want people to know that in 2010, when I did legislate, and we did do it as part of the budget process, even though some of us were nervous. At the time that we put forward this proposal, it was based on the HSRI study. Ms. Lyde, who was in charge of both BHD and DHHS at the time, was already doing that. She was already in the process of evaluating people, and if there was a more appropriate placement for them in the community, she was already on it. She was already doing it. And so then when I, you know, came to her and said, hey, can we do this, she said, absolutely, because we're already there. So just so people know, because I think I got a little bit of the impression yesterday, at least from some of the testimony from people, that they believe that we have people sitting in the facility right now that we know are a good match for being out in the community, and that's not the case. We constantly evaluate people. And just like anybody who's in treatment, you know, today I might be ready to, you know, to move forward and to do something, and then tomorrow my medication changes or my bipolar disorder is worse than it was yesterday, and so every day is different. So it's a constant kind of evaluating of people to make sure that they're still where they should be in order to be able to move forward. So I just wanted to say that because I think that speaks really highly of our behavioral health division and our leadership, that this is something that we're constantly doing, and it's not something that we're all of a sudden like, yeah, let's go ahead and get everybody out to the community. All along, we've been evaluating people to see if they're a good fit for their community.
I would say that by declaring a downsizing, we received considerable resources.
Right.
So that we received the resources of the state. There's some enhancement in terms of rates. And so we do get considerable resources by declaring an actual downsizing. And so that's one of the reasons that we did that for these 24. and why we would, I don't want to get into the other stuff. We're just talking about these 24 today.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you.
No, without in my meetings with Ms. Lucy and Director Cologne, that was my main concern. It was already happening. They're already, fulfilling the goal of downsizing and putting people into the community. So I was just wondering, well, in the meetings, I was concerned about, we got 3 years now, but we've already doing it. So that was, that's where it comes from in our meetings. So thank you.
Right. And just for a little bit of the history, too, I think in 2008, I put forward an initiative to downsize a unit, and that actually didn't pass. And so we've come a long way, baby. So, all right, Director Cologne.
So thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We've been doing this for the last many years. There's been downsizing. In fact, BHD at one point had 900 people that lived there. So certainly over the years, there's been some significant downsizing. So from that perspective, there's nothing different. What's a little different now is that family care is a significant resource that was not available many years back. And the entitlement aspect of family care is what's really unique right now. And the question of providing these individuals with better models for success in smaller settings is something that we want to move much more aggressively on right now with the family care support that we have in place.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. We did, and I can't remember, but we did do something with family care. Was it in 2010? I just remember that the advocates were extremely nervous. And I'm not sure if it's because we were switching people from one program to another program, but we did do something with, I just remember there being a lot of nervousness about family care and people at BHD being shifted over to family care. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please. I'm sorry, I just think it's fitting to have that, to have that and put it in context.
Good afternoon.
Take us back to 2010.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, with County Board of Supervisors. Now I'm like the living elder of family care.
really are.
So sad. What we had done, and I believe it was in 2009, but I would have to go back and check, was to, there was a concerted effort to identify individuals who were receiving services through the Behavioral Health Division who were family care eligible. I know it was 2009 because at the time the population that we were looking at was simply those people who were 60 and older who were in residence there. It wasn't so much those individuals who were residing at BHD but receiving community services through the Behavioral Health Division, mm-hmm. people in community support programs or in contracted CBRFs, and identifying whether they were indeed eligible functionally and financially. So people were offered the opportunity for options counseling, and then if they accepted the offer for options counseling and were eligible, were offered an opportunity to enroll in family care, and then a plan was put together for family care to pay for those services in the community rather than having those services be paid through tax levy.
Okay, very good. I knew there was something. All right, Director Cologne.
And I think that's a wonderful thing that we could possibly revisit again to try to get more people in family care, which in turn could provide them with more services than they're currently being provided with, and at the same time be able to save a significant amount of tax levy that could be supported through Medicaid dollars through the family care program. So it's certainly something I would like to explore within our next budget.
Okay. Do you remember what the numbers look like after you did the evaluations on all of those individuals?
I can pull it up.
It's okay. I know. 2009. Come on.
I did just look at it. So it's in one of these pockets, in one of these gadgets. But I think there were a certain number of people out of the original group that was identified who chose not to receive options counseling.
Okay.
So that totally gets taken out of the mix. And then out of those people who did choose to receive options counseling who were then identified as family care eligible, there were a portion of those individuals who chose not to enroll in the program. So if you take those out, all of those other individuals who are either residing in CBRFs under contract with BHD or receiving community support program services enrolled, and both obviously group homes are, but CSP is as well, as in the benefit package, so those individuals did roll into family care. So it was, you know, you have to keep taking out the people who declined the options counseling in the first place and then declined the enrollment.
Right. Thank you.
But I think there was still we saw a significant savings.
Okay. Thank you very much. And that was the reason why I asked this morning about people not choosing to go into the program, because I remember that was something that was I wasn't expecting that. I thought people would be like, oh, yeah, you know, we get these other, you know, options, and no. So, all right. Thank you very much, Ms. Ledger. You are a gem. All right. Supervisor Bowen?
Really quick, what was that percentage of people that opted out, that said that they didn't want services?
Break it down into a percentage, please. Aren't you glad you came back in here? Aren't you glad you came back in here?
I'm always tickled to be here. You know what? I can have it for you in about 5 minutes if I either figure out where it is on my BlackBerry. But I would say, I want to say maybe a quarter of the individuals who are originally identified, but I could. That's
all right. Okay. And I see Ms. Lida is shaking her head, so I think she agrees with you.
And that would mean that they preferred an institutionalized.
No. Madam Chair and Supervisor Bowen, these were individuals who were living in the community. The services wouldn't have changed. If you're living in Supervisor Roma West Group Home, being paid through tax levy, you can stay there being paid through tax levy, or you can enroll in family care, and family care.
We're comparing apples to oranges, but it's just, I just remember there was a large number of people that didn't want to get into the program, which didn't help us any because we were trying to save money. So,
you know, that's quite early in family care.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So I think understanding about expectations about it have certainly changed.
Very true. All right. Thank you, Ms. Ledger. You're worth your weight in gold. All right. Are there any other comments or questions on item number 17? Seeing none.